Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Is the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on a Monday. Sheehan will be back tomorrow. It's the Team 980. We're simulcast on YouTube and Twitter as well, so you can see my big pretty face. I did makeup this morning, so everybody come watch us on the video stream. I don't think it's crazy, but I think there's a real possibility that the Wizards could land Jason Tatum this offseason. So let me do a little bit of explaining before you judge this scenario, but I do think it's possible that they could not only land Jason Tatum, but they could also keep their first round pick in the process. So there's a lot of moving pieces into what I'm about to describe and the picture that I'm about to paint here. But the biggest one and the largest one is this idea that has been growing stronger and stronger that Anthony Davis doesn't want to be here. And I think this stems from the way Anthony Davis was initially traded. I mean, he came to Washington with seemingly no input from him and no input from Rich Paul. And if you know anything about the way that Clutch operates in the basketball space, they're in control of a lot of what's happening. Rich Paul is a very, very powerful man. He's in control of a lot of what's happening. So Anthony Davis landing in Washington when they had no say and they had no control, I think initially already put things off at a little bit of a bad start. You continue to dive into this relationship and you start to hear some rumors and some speculation of what I just said. Hey, I don't know that Anthony Davis wants to be here. Anthony Davis is not happy about the way that things went that led him to come to Washington. He eventually comes. He smiles, right? He's in that big puffy black jacket. He's looking good. He's touring the facility. Everybody's happy, right? But I would just, for starters, I would look at the staunch different. And not to say that you have to handle everything the exact same as your star counterpart. But Trey Young gets to D.C. and immediately, I wanted to be here. I'm going to go to a Georgetown game. I'm going to go to a Capitals game. I'm going to, you'll see me courtside at Wizards games. I'm getting thrown out before I even play a game because I'm standing up for my young guys. I'm going to NCAA basketball games, the Michigan and Duke game. I'm going to the Elite Eight and Sweet 16 games here. I mean, Trey Young, he got to D.C. and then he started to live the D.C. experience. Does everybody need to do that? No. But I be noticing, right? One guy came here, wants to be here. The other guy seemingly doesn't want to be here. And now this week, in particular, we've gotten more and more information. You know, when one person reports that Anthony Davis does not want to be here, or that Anthony Davis could potentially never play a game for the Washington Wizards, when one person reports it, and it's a person that has a little bit of weight to their name, you hear it and you say, all right, this is something, right? I heard it for the first time when Chris Haynes said something about it. And I trust Chris Haynes. So when Chris Haynes says that Anthony Davis might not play a game in Washington, I hear that and I process it and say, all right, there might be a little bit of legs here, but it's still only one guy. But when Chris Haynes and then Mark Stein say the same thing about, hey, there is a potential that Anthony Davis does not play a game in Washington, and then on top of that, Anthony Davis is doing a press tour for his television show. I've seen one episode. It's fine. I don't know if you've watched it, Max. I saw the Draymond one. It was fine.
Yeah, I saw clips of the Draymond one, and Draymond was pissed. But outside of that, I haven't really felt the need.
I saw that Robert was going to be in it, and I didn't plan on watching the show anyway. But once Robert was in it, I was like, I'm good.
I'm good.
I don't need to watch it. I'll save myself a little bit there. But he's doing this press tour, and he's talking about how bad the Wizards are. If you look from the outside, we're a bad basketball team. Well, that's kind of mean. You do play here. That's not the nicest thing in the world. It all feels calculated. Okay, so cool. He maybe doesn't want to be here. If he doesn't want to be here, you should not want him here. Now, personally, I would love Anthony Davis here because when he's happy and healthy, he gets you 25 and 12. Now, the happy part and the healthy part are very much in question when it comes to him. But when he's happy and healthy, he gets you 25 and 12. If he is not happy and he is not healthy and he does not want to be here, what can you get in return for Anthony Davis? And I think the answer to that is potentially Jason Tatum. Anthony Davis wants to go to a winner, right? When he's doing this press tour, he is saying, I think my window is nearing its end. I want to go play for a winner. And that is an important piece of note to keep in mind when dealing with a scenario that I am about to paint. He wants to go for a winner. He has zero leverage in that. You don't have to send him to a winner at all, right? So that's where we're going to pause it with Anthony Davis. I want to go to a winner, but if you're the Wizards, you don't have to send him to a winner. You got to do what is best for your operation. Would it anger Rich Paul? It could potentially anger Rich Paul, but look, man, LeBron ain't coming here next year anyway, so what do we care? We are doing what is best for our operation. We're not going to bend to the will of an agent. So we're done with Anthony Davis there. Boston just lost a game 7, and they lost it in spectacular fashion because they were up 3-1. The Eastern Conference should have run through Boston. I thought they were the best team coming into the Eastern Conference, especially with Jason Tatum healthy. Jason Tatum does not play in game 7. That has to matter. But I found it interesting that immediately after the Celtics lost game 7, there were not the reports of Brown and Tatum wanting to split. It was instead, because we've heard these reports for forever, right? It's been like 10 years of these guys. Do they want to play together? Do they not want to play together? Does Boston want them together? Does Boston not want them together? I mean, they were having these conversations before they even played on the same team together, it feels like, right? The report, though, was not about those two guys wanting to separate. The report was instead that Boston could be in the market for Giannis. So we introduce a third team to the party. Boston wants Giannis. In order to get Giannis, you're going to have to move either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. This is where Washington comes into play here. If you are going to get Giannis, you need to give up a substantial amount of capital in order to get Giannis. Milwaukee is not going to pull a Dallas Mavericks. They're not just going to give them away. Nobody is going to do that anymore. Everybody has learned. If you are going to give away a superstar, you need something significant and substantial in return. Can Boston provide that by themselves? I don't believe the answer to that is yes. But I do believe that Washington could help. So here is my scenario that lands Jason Tatum in Washington. It's a three-team deal. The Bucks, they get Anthony Davis. He said, I want to play for a winner. And in this scenario, Will Dawkins says, I don't give a damn. You don't want to be here? We will send you elsewhere. We're going to send you to Milwaukee. The Celtics get Giannis. So they get their guy. They are now the home of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they likely sign him to a big, massive extension to ensure that he is always going to be in Boston. He gets to go play in a big city. Boston gets Giannis. The Wizards, they get Jason Tatum. So the Bucks are also going to get the 2026 first-round pick of the Celtics, not the Wizards. The Wizards are keeping their 2026 first-round pick in this scenario. You get a 2027 first from both Washington and Boston. So you get three firsts for Giannis. You get Anthony Davis, who you were then going to take off of your books in a year. You get him for 2026-27. He has a player option the following year. If he is going to do this whole big song and dance about, hey, I want to win, I want to compete for championships, he's going to deny that $62 million deal and go test free agency for the first time in his career. We'll see what Anthony Davis ends up doing then. Particularly, I don't really care. He's not going to be with this organization anymore. Good riddance. If you don't want to be here, we don't want you here. See ya. So Anthony Davis is in Boston, or in Milwaukee, rather. They get three first-round picks. Maybe you add a few smaller players into this as well. But what makes this incredibly interesting and so fascinating is that all three of the players are on the exact same contract in terms of compensation. So with most big trades, you're not trading a guy that is getting paid anywhere near the same stratosphere, so you have to add other players to make the salaries work. If you just traded right now, I went to the ESPN trade machine. If you just traded right now, straight up, Davis, Tatum, and Giannis, and put them in the three-team trade to where Davis goes to Milwaukee, Giannis goes to Boston, and then Tatum comes here to Washington, it works. Because they're all on the receiving end of the same money. So it's literally just bodies going in and out, but the money stays the same. Now, there are some details in the contract that are going to be different. That's natural. But overarching, the money is the same. And then you head into 2026, if you are Washington, with a lineup of either or, right? You get Trae Young at the one. You get a combination of Kyshawn George and Trey Johnson at the two, whoever you want to play there. Maybe you go tall and you have George, who's 6'8", playing two. Maybe you want to go smaller and have an emphasis on shooting with Trey Johnson, and then George comes off of the bench, whichever direction you want to go there. You get Tatum at the three. You get DeBonsta at the four. And then you get Alex Saar at the five. If for whatever reason all hell breaks loose, the Wizards don't get A.J. DeBonsta, you run Trae Young, Darren Peterson, Keyshawn George, Jason Tatum, Alex Saar. And then all of a sudden in an Eastern Conference where you're looking around and saying, I don't know that this Eastern Conference is the strongest in the world, you become one of the strongest teams in the Eastern Conference. Jason Tatum missed all of a majority of this year. To me, it feels very easy for Boston to sit there and be like, well, are we going to hitch our wagon to a guy that just came off of a massive Achilles injury or a massive knee injury? No, we don't want to do that. So we're going to move off of him. We'll keep Jaylen Brown, just tell him not to go on Twitch anymore, and we're going to get Giannis. So then they can do Jaylen Brown and Giannis, and that can be whatever it is. But then the Wizards get Jason Tatum. And if the Wizards get Jason Tatum, you're sitting here and you're thrilled. And you're saying, all right, Will Dawkins ended up turning a 2026 first-round pick from Oklahoma City, not theirs, a 2030 first-round pick from Golden State, not theirs, 3 seconds, who cares about 3 seconds, Chris Middleton, A.J. Johnson, Malachi Branham, and Marvin Bagley III, if you turn all of those into Jason Tatum, erect a statue of that man immediately. Put him on the mural of Ben's Chili Bowl. Will Dawkins is a hero in this town. If they pull something like that off, I mean, legitimately the heist of the century of getting a guy that's a legitimate superstar in Jason Tatum, they would actually want to play here. He could call up Bradley Beal. Brad could tell him how nice Ted is. Brad's going to say, hey, Ted's going to pay you a lot of money. Trust me. Help me out a little bit. He can get on the phone with Brad and he's going to love playing here. And then you get a legitimate ball handling point guard with Trae Young, a legitimate top tier scorer with Jason Tatum. You got a bunch of young dudes and then potentially A.J. DeBonsta as your legit core piece for the future, face of the franchise for the next 15 to 20 years, and then the guy that ultimately leads you to the promised land, which is, in this instance, a place of relevance, which is where the Wizards have not been in 50-some-odd years, right? We don't even have to talk about a championship, although ultimately that's the main goal. I just want the team to get to relevance. And landing Jason Tatum does that. Now, Max, I know you said, you texted me this morning and you said, I have a trade idea for the Wizards. Is it similar to the one that I just described, or is it slightly different?
Almost exactly the same. All we're doing is taking Jason Tatum and turning him into Jaylen Brown instead.
So you're a JB guy.
I mean, at this point, I feel like Jaylen Brown would be a good veteran leader for this team, this young group, to kind of have them blossom. So I do think that his a mentorship out of him, especially after him kind of getting all this experience being a number one for the first time in Boston, I think that that would rub off on this team the right way. So, yeah, I think Jaylen Brown would be an interesting addition. And you run it through the trade machine same way you did.
It works.
And it works.
Yeah, it's really nice. The best thing about these contracts in the NBA is that most guys are basically on one type of contract or another. Yeah. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of super crazy unique contracts in the NBA because all of these like super maxes and mega elite maxes and 70 million deals, like they're all very, very new. So everyone's experiencing these things together, which does make it very easy to trade superstar for superstar and do this like, this is like my thing is the three-man weave. Yours is just star for a star kind of a deal. Here's the thing, though, and here's the reason, because I thought about this. I would argue that Jaylen Brown fits maybe what Washington is trying to do just from a traditional 1-5 lineup. He'd be your two guard with Trae Young as your one, and then George at the 3, DeBonsta at the 4, and then Alex Sarr at the 5, assuming that DeBonsta is the guy that they get. Sunday is going to be such a big deal for this organization, man, such a big deal. My issue, and this is personal. This is personal to me. It has nothing to do with the stream, although it doesn't help. I just cannot tell you a time where I have sat down in front of the television screen with all four of my eyes and thought to myself, man, I love watching Jaylen Brown play basketball. It's personal. I hate watching him play. I hate him. I hate watching him play basketball. For the longest time, he couldn't dribble with his left hand at a high enough level. He finally was able to dribble with his left hand. And then in the year where it's supposed to be his season, right? This is his favorite year of basketball. He put together a three-game stretch where they were up 3-1. All you had to do was beat Philadelphia once, and he just did not play well. I just don't like watching Jaylen Brown play basketball. At the very least, I like watching Jason Tatum play. So even if this doesn't work out beautifully the way that my imagination is hoping that it would, I just don't like watching Jaylen Brown play, and I love watching Jason Tatum. When he's healthy, I think Tatum is the better of the two. I just like watching him play, even though he is kind of a Debbie Downer. The way he handled the Olympic thing was kind of weird. Like, he thought he was going to play over LeBron and Kevin Durant. Are you serious? Like, do you know who those dudes are? I just don't like watching Jaylen Brown play. Do you like the trade idea? Do you hate the trade idea? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Are you seeing the vision that I'm seeing that could potentially land Jason Tatum in D.C.? Give us a call. We'll take some of your calls next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
Your boy is starting to get pretty excited about the NBA draft lottery. Sunday, we're going to find out.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Now, what pick the Wizards get in the lottery? This is the biggest day for basketball in this city since Game 7 against the Celtics. And that was the series when the Wiz were on the verge of the conference championship. It was right after John Wall had jumped up on the scorer's table in Game 6, one of the iconic and legendary moments in the history of basketball at Capital One Arena. In fact, if you make it specific to basketball, you take the Caps and all the other cool things that have happened, they're out of the equation. I don't think there's a higher moment than him in that Game 6, that close to the conference final, jumping up on the scorer table. The only thing that would come close to me was when Jordan dropped 50 at home. Do you remember that?
Of course, yeah.
I don't know if it was like New Year's Eve, but it was right around New Year's. I want to say it was against the Hornets. I remember what I was wearing and where I was sitting when it happened in my living room, the house I grew up in on 12104 Ward Road in King George, Virginia, charting that game as he was dropping a 50-burger. I think he scored 51. But that was a one-off. That was just cool because it was Jordan. They were wearing teal. They looked awful. Like, yep. Everything about it,
all of it was dumb.
Not that interesting. Other than that it was Jordan playing for my team. I think John Wall on the scorer's table is the best moment in the history of the building.
Yeah, that's high watermark. I mean, the you know, Gennaro Pargo explosion and Gilbert Arenas' shot, that was only in the first round. That John Wall three was that was like the Jason Worth home run, right? Season-saving type moment. We got a shot at winning the series before they got Olenek'd.
We were told to pack our patience today because there's a lot of things at the studio that just behind the scenes and everything that are crazy. Mitch and Finley, I walked in. They were broadcasting from a closet at some point. I'm like, what? Is this a coat closet?
They had tin cans and they were yelling.
And so I'm on board. I'm team pack your patience. We are team players. One thing I didn't prepare for, though, was how hot it would be in this studio.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, like mics are all going to be hot. Everyone's going to get fired by the end of the day. Like that part I can get. But I didn't realize, and I think it's just because JP and Brian didn't have the ability, as normal temperatured people, to fix this studio after the iguanas that lay on the rocks that are the sports jungle.
So now remember Monday, we were saying nice stuff about them, and we love those guys, and congratulations.
Show. For all 30 years of their show, they have both entertained the masses and had this room be 90 degrees.
The nice time's over. These are pod people who are aliens, who are incorrectly temperatured. I prefer a little warmer. No, it's not that. The thermostat was actively set to heat, and 76 degrees was the desired temperature. In other words, if it got down to 74, heat ignites, turns on, and blasts hot air on you. That's psychotic.
Are they psychotic that way, or is it just, I've always thought Eric, who admits that he's constantly cold and needs it to be hotter, I know that he sleeps at night on a heat rock with a lamp on top of him.
Yes.
Like a lizard.
Yes, and he could change color if there are predators around.
Right. But are all four of them, like, imagine doing the show with him and being you or me.
I couldn't.
You would just be, it would be like sitting in a sauna all day long.
No. So I think JP doesn't mind for some reason, which everyone should mind. The minding should be happening so hard. If it's like you, if you're cold, I can only be so naked here in the studio. There are rules. HR governs that. If you need a sweatshirt, put one on. You need to wear some mittens, put some mittens on. You can punch up the colors with your mittens.
Hoodie.
Yeah. I mean, base layer, get that long underwear, get the thermals, whatever you got to do to fix it. You can't subject us to this. But the sneaky villain, and I know he's very corporate and he holds my career in his hands now. I mean, this guy has climbed up the ladder. He's one of the big bosses. The sneaky villain here is Drab.
Yeah, he's a hot
Drab guy. Is wrong. His body is wrong. It doesn't produce the cooling agents that the rest of us do. He needs, or the heat, whatever it is, the opposite. He needs it hot, so he doesn't produce the heat that human beings do.
Right.
Space alien.
So just add that to the list of packing your patients.
Yeah, I packed it.
I think it's going to get cooler, though. We'll just adjust. And
yeah, you feel a little breeze? I got a little Drew going.
But back to the NBA draft lottery. Mm-hmm. Sunday, it's going to be at 3 o'clock, right? So I'm multitasking here because your boys got Nats baseball. Should be wrapping up. They're playing the early game. They're on Peacock. They're starting at noonish or something.
I'll definitely be able to watch it.
So there is a chance that they will be done right before the lottery. I think our guy, Ben Strober, is going to be doing a broadcast with Linnell on this station, both stations, all over the place. Not really sure. Depends on when postgame ends. But we're going to have you covered on The Fan for what is a momentous day. But I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm very excited. I'm starting to get nervous. It feels good to feel something as a Wizards fan.
Yep.
But this is years in the making in a lot of ways. This draft class has been known as particularly special for some time. And the idea that at 1-1, if it was me, I would just take A.J. DeBonsa and not think twice about it. But you can completely change the complexion of your franchise. So what is at stake here on Sunday? I honestly think it is the difference of the entire vision and plan put forth at the very top from Leonsis, Winger, Dawkins, this crew, and it's been executed proficiently over the last few years.
Yep.
This is the final nail to like complete the project, as far as I'm concerned. It will take a little more time, because now everything's got to come together. But adding the player at 1-1, mm-hmm. like the Bonsta, it went perfectly, swimmingly. You can't ask for a better situation. If the Wizards thing happens, though, and they're picking at the bottom of the top five,
yep.
if they're picking, worst they can pick
five
is five, and that's still the highest percentage chance, right around 50%.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it, you know, more positively, I know you will be, Danny, as an optimist.
Long time.
President of the King George Optimist Club, Danny Ruye with Dennis Paulson. 52% chance they're picking in the top four. 48% chance they're picking fifth. So you're going to look at that and say they're going to pick fifth.
Every Wizards fan knows, intuitively.
The way it's being described to me, as I ask smart basketball people, is they've got to get into the top four, basically, is where they want to be. As high as possible, obviously. If they're one, that's great. It's three players, then a drop-off, then a fourth, then a drop-off, then a fifth, is I think how the Wizards might have their board based on speculation. But I say all that to say we are 4 days, no hours, and 47 minutes away from finding out where they're going to pick. There has not been a day this big for basketball in this city in what year was the Celtics series?
17? Is that how long ago it was?
We're going on a decade.
Yeah. This is a potentially transformative moment. And a number of things I want to bring up. It will basically decide if a lot of the pain for a lot of people, and it's the wrong approach, but this is just, you know, it's a results thing where you want to tune in and see the good result. This will decide if the pain was worth it to a lot of fans. Now, again, I think that's incorrect.
That's a good point, too.
My view of it is not. It's your best chance. I've done 46 years of the other way. The Bradley Beal treated as a superstar, win 37 games, where he's playing 40 minutes a night. I've done that. Good on that forever. Thank you. Try to be great. Not try to be okay, not try to be the 9 seed.
The process was still correct. It's the equivalent of you decide you're going to get your son pitching lessons, and then he pitches in a game, and he doesn't pitch as well as he wanted to.
Yeah, or he gets shelled, yeah.
It doesn't mean that you did the wrong thing.
Like in swingers, you double down on 11, baby, and then you lose the hand.
You're probably still better off having done it that way.
This is the process. This is what happens. You're card counting, and this is the best way to count cards. Even when you're counting cards, by the way, you still lose the hand to blackjack all the damn time. That's the part they don't show you in the movies, right? With the glamorized counting cards, you lose plenty. You get, your odds are better, you go for it. That's what this is. This process has led to the best chance for a team that has been a joke, quite frankly, in league circles forever, for my whole life, to not be one. That's what's at stake, and that's what's on the line here. Now, even if they get wizarded, which every Wizards fan intuitively in their heart knows means the worst possible pick is the one that they are going to get, you're still in position to get a guy that's going to help you. It's just not DeBonsa. It's not Peterson. It's probably not Boozer, right? The five spot's a good spot. It's either Caleb Wilson or Darius Acuff or maybe somebody that they end up liking better. That's still good. That still makes you a better basketball team. It's just not what it could be if you're in that one or two spot.
Yeah, I do feel like the floor is higher than it normally is.
Agreed. With this draft.
When we're doing this routine a year ago and Cooper Flagg was the possibility, but it was not this class behind him. It was a way bigger letdown. Like when you found out the Wizards got the sixth pick before they went to commercial, that's a turn off the TV and don't watch the rest because you're heartbroken draft.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Now, it ended up working out because the guy that I would have wanted, Trey Johnson, fell into their laps as it was, but it's still a massive difference than this year where as bad as it can be is five and you're going to get a really, really good basketball player. But there is the chance that you can kick this thing into overdrive and really hit the NOS button here if you get the number one pick or you strike gold at number two 4 days from now. So here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to run a quick simulation to see which pick the Wizards are going to get.
Mm-hmm.
I've done this like 100 times the last few days. I always end up with them getting the fourth pick. I don't know why that is. Every time. We're going to do it here. We'll see if it's
fourth. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
But let's see, Danny. This is what's going to happen, okay? So we don't even need to wait. We're just going to find out right now. Are you ready?
Yes.
The Grant and Danny radio program, Wizards Draft Lottery simulation. They have a 14% chance at the number one overall pick, the highest in the NBA, tied with the Pacers and the Brooklyn Nets. So, Darius, without further ado, which pick, as I run this simulation, will the Wizards get? They got the fourth pick again.
Yeah.
I don't know how this happens every single time. I'm not joking. Last night I did this like 17 times. It was kind of like 3 minutes later, and I'm like, all right, I'll wait an hour. Every time I did it, they got the fourth pick. Brooklyn number one, Memphis up four spots. Good for them.
Isn't that fun?
Number two. The Utah Jazz got the third pick. All of them moved up. And then the Wizards, shocker, moved down more than anybody else to number four. The Pacers, number five. Let's try one more time, Darius. Let's do this one more time. I'd like to get something for once that isn't the fourth pick in the draft. I can't believe this. It's not the fourth pick. This happened. I'm going to turn it around and show it to you, Danny, because you're not going to believe it.
Okay.
Where are the Wizards?
Wizards are fifth. I did it 10 times.
They got the fifth pick this time.
Yeah, I did it 10 times. Wizards got 10 seven times and won twice when I just did it myself.
What do you mean 10?
Like, I simulated it 10 times.
Yeah.
The Wizards got the fifth pick seven times.
Okay, you when said I did 10. It. So, fifth pick.
Yeah. Fifth pick they got seven times.
Yeah.
So, the boning is coming.
I don't know why I feel this way, and I know this means nothing. You're just going to be like, oh, you're being positive.
It's you feel
same,
good?
The same way that I'm going to dismiss you and just say, oh, you're being negative. I feel great. I actually think they're going to win the lottery. I don't know why I feel that
way. Because they finally did it right?
Yes.
In other words, yeah.
Everyone's like, that's never happened. First of all, they've never done the thing they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Why would the basketball gods shine down on you when you just kick them in the ass all the time by doing terrible things,
yeah,
having terrible players, pooping in each other's shoes, going into jacuzzis, doing all the stupid things with stupid players? When you're building your franchise around Nick Young, you don't deserve to win a lottery. Why would the basketball gods shine down on you? They've done it correctly. Will Dawkins, Michael Winger, Travis Schlink. This has been a well-run operation. They have cleaned the home. They have vacuumed. They have dusted. They're going to pass inspection, man. I think they're going to come in here, and our number's going to come in, Danny. I think we're going to get more for our house than we think here. Now, worst case scenario. I'll give you my worst case.
Okay.
I think they will be in the top three.
That's your worst case?
Worst case is. Okay. I don't think they end up fourth or fifth. What I really want, the thing that would be the biggest kick to the shins, is I think the way it works on TV, so it's 14 teams in the lottery. 14 to, I think, six is before the commercial break, or is it five? Strober's saying five. I just want to have the juice after the commercial break. Last year, I was already screwed before the commercial break.
Oh, yeah, you were.
That commercial break, it's like 2 minutes where the whole world is in front of you.
Yep.
Your heart starts beating. You get those palpitations, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
If they announce 14 through 5, and the Wizards, we would now know, are a lock to be in the top four, now we can all kind of go, oh my goodness, is it happening? And even if they end up fourth, it's just four more minutes of that sweat. That's absolutely awesome. But Strober, you got a show with Linnell, so you guys will be watching very closely live on air and reacting in real time.
So you need to pay close attention to what's happening in real time, because if you see one of these teams like Golden State, who's supposed to get 11, drop down to 12, that means whoever's 11 jumped into the top four. And they're going to announce that stuff as it happens.
Yeah, it's the one thing they do, because they don't say much, but they're like, oh, the Thunder are six, so that means this team is now in the top three.
Yeah, somehow the Spurs again will jump up 71 spots to get the number one pick.
You have to hope everything plays straight up throughout the entire lottery. Like, if you get to six, so if the Pacers come up at six, which means their pick would convey to L.A., I think that guarantees the Wizards would be five, by the way.
Guarantees?
I think most simulations I've seen, like ESPN has one where it literally goes like and shows the percentages each time the number comes up. And if the Pacers got six, it says like five Washington 99%+.
Wow. So, okay. So I need you to write these down. I need to get these before this weekend. So if the Pacers are six, you're saying basically we're five.
I think so.
Okay. Is there anything else like that? Where if this happens, then I know what the Wizards are?
Well, I think also if you saw teams like Sacramento and Brooklyn fall as well, I think you might be in a similar situation, because it goes in reverse order, because they do the top four first.
So well, like, I get the one that as soon as someone moves up, it screws me. That one's easy.
It ruins everything.
Yes.
And again, they want more of that, by the way. Keep in mind, the fix for this is they want more of whatever that is.
Who are they going to send to sit there? They have not announced this yet. Who's the right person to send to be there for this? Like, I would think you would want to go with whoever you'd consider to be like your lucky charm or whatever. Matt Adams, the former little-known Washington Nationals player who was on the 2019 World Series team, was sitting at the lottery as the representative for the Nats when they won the number one overall pick. I'm not doing a bit. Why not send Matt Adams for the Wizards? He's won the lottery once. He's one for one at this. They had a very slim chance of winning that lottery, and he, you know, threaded the needle for him. What if the Wizards just sent Matt Adams?
I don't hate it. I mean, whatever you got to do. Seriously. Whatever you have to do. My first thought was Irene Poland, last time they won this lottery, was the person who did it before they passed control of the team to Ted Leonsis. She passed away a few years ago. Send the two sons. Send the two Poland children up there. Anything to give me some good energy, because they fall every year. Not hyperbolic. They fell four spots last year. They fell to eighth in 2023, despite having top three odds. It's historic. They fall. Whatever the worst thing they can get is, that's what they get. That's why having the number one best odds to guarantee me the fifth pick was so important.
You know, it would be great. I just thought about this. What if we went? What if Ted Leonsis like called in today and he's like,
I'll go.
Hey, Grant and Danny, we want you guys to represent us today. And so it's all these people in suits, and then it's just us sitting there and like the deputy commissioners shouting us out and like, Grant and Danny do a radio show in Washington, D.C.
And they're here.
Not really sure why they're here. Well, the Wizards win the lottery. We would be heroes.
Heroes.
You can be heroes. Can you imagine?
Just for one day. Yeah.
They'd be talking about us for years. What's on the line here? That's my question. How big of a deal is this lottery for D.C. sports and for the Wizards? I think it's so much bigger than the Wiz, to be honest. I think it's a landscape of the sports scene in the city thing. Because the Wizards are so dead in terms of interest and fandom and intrigue. Even as they've done this thing so well, winning the lottery, getting 1-1, getting a superstar in the making like a DeMonta, it can change everything. I said it last year with Cooper Flagg.
During the history of the show, in terms of DC sports history.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
Well, we've had no success with the Washington Wizards. No success. Like, I was scanning my brain. The best I could say is that they beat the Raptors in that one series to advance to the Celtics and make it to game 7. Mm-hmm. And then Isaiah Thomas worked them. Mm-hmm. The little Isaiah Thomas worked them in game 7. So little success. But they did have success in the lottery a couple times. And they've had the number one pick. John Wall is going to represent the Washington Wizards at the lottery. He, of course, was the number one pick. Was it 2011? I can't remember the exact year.
Doesn't matter.
What's your vibe? Do you have a vibe at all? A tingle?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'm just being negative, but protecting myself, I assume we'll pick 5th. We got like a 48% chance to pick 5th. Basically 50% think we're going to pick 5th.
What's the odds of picking 3rd? That's my guess, 3rd.
I don't know. I think the odds, if you add it up to get to a top 3, it would maybe be in a 30% dial range or something.
That's
like
my
that.
Prediction, 3rd.
So that would be good. I do feel like...
I don't think they'll get 1.
I mean, that would be amazing. I do feel like 5th is right at the sort of the cutoff of where I'd feel comfortable about getting a great player.
Mm-hmm.
After 5, I think it starts to get dicey. In other words, after Devonta Peterson, I guess Boozer, Caleb Wilson, Acuff, I don't know, who else would they be considering, you think, with that?
Fleming's, I think that's the strongest 5.
That's the strongest 5, I think, right?
And I don't know, man. Boozer, to me,
Boozer
super
be my,
productive college
be
player.
Take. Yeah.
Super productive college player.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's got the bloodlines.
Can he be a star, though?
I don't know.
I think he's going to be a lot like his dad. His dad wasn't a star, but his dad was a double-double.
Super productive.
His dad, though, made all-star teams, I believe.
I mean, Boozer can make all-star teams. I don't know if you build a team around him. I'm not calling him a role player. I mean, he's going to be a starter, but he's going to be an 18 and 10 guy. Those other guys, DeBonsa and maybe Peterson, could be, 25.
If you had one.
Carlos Boozer made the All-Star team twice.
Yeah.
If his son makes the All-Star team twice, I'd say that was a successful pick. I don't know. For some reason, and it's different body type, maybe different style, but I just see Carlos Boozer. I think of Corliss Williamson. And Corliss Williamson was an amazing college basketball player at Arkansas.
Bigger than
yeah, Williamson. I said different body type. Yeah. And Corliss Williamson was a very good pro.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a difference maker.
The one thing Boozer has to be pretty good at, and I think he's pretty good now, is stepping out and hitting the 3. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty good at that at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't take a ton of 3s. I mean, he was a back to the basket guy, but in the NBA, he's going to have to be able to stretch those guys out.
I think that is would be the least exciting pick. That
is he as dynamic as fellow Dukie, who was a number one pick, Paolo Banchero?
No, Banchero's, I mean, he's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I don't feel like he's as good as Banchero, and Banchero's very good pro.
Okay, well, Banchero was the top pick.
Well, they're actually comp very closely to each other.
Are they?
And their play styles. Yeah, anytime you look up Boozer's NBA comp, it says Banchero.
Okay.
He seems more athletic to me. But
yeah.
I think that would be the one I'd be least excited
everyone's
about.
Everyone's hating on Boozer. The guy, he was by far the number one recruit in high school coming out. He played very well. He won the player of the year. Like, what else do people want from this guy?
Well, why is DeBanza rated above him?
I mean,
in every...
these guys, they're just very athletic. So
that's what it is. I like a little more athletic. That's just what I like.
So would Boozer be your number one pick?
I'm not saying he's going to suck.
If Trab had the number one pick, you're an NBA GM. Mm. Let's say you're Dawkins. You get the number one pick. The Wizards land the number one pick. You're taking Carlos Boozer?
No, it's Cam Boozer.
I mean, Cam Boozer?
Yeah.
No,
he's not going to take him.
No, probably not. But if they did take him, I wouldn't be upset about it.
He's just the one to be at least excited.
If they
about.
Have the third pick and DeBanza and Peterson are gone to get Boozer, it's a really good pick. I'm not saying they'll take him. They could take somebody else. But
I think Boozer has a higher floor than those other guys. Peterson and AJ could bomb out.
That might be true.
I just think Boozer, I think he's more of a sure thing.
Yeah, but
you're
going to
get a long
safer
career
pick.
For him.
You're going to get a Carlos Boozer-type career.
But I'm not sure the upside is as big as the others.
Maybe better.
I think Caleb
maybe
Wilson, he could be a boom or bust big time, but the athleticism is crazy.
I think Cam is so smart on the floor. Oh, he's so fun to watch. He's a great passer.
He'll be a great teammate, great in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, those are guys that win championships. I'm not hating on Cam Boozer if he ends up in D.C.
But
at all.
Look what his dad averaged getting into year three of his career. 18, 18, 21, 21, 16, 20, 18. I mean, that's a solid, solid NBA career. He was probably in the league 12 years.
Oh, very solid career. Of course, people
so
would
if
kill
you could
for
get,
that career.
If you could get Cam Boozer to be in that range.
If you could get his dad's career, it would be a good pick.
Correct.
Yeah. I just am not as in. It's just
and
not
his dad
sexy.
His dad was a second round pick.
It's just not sexy. That's all.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's going to suck. It's just not sexy.
1-800-636-1067. If they don't land the number one pick after all of this tanking, will you still be happy that the Wizards endured such an awful season in terms of wins and losses? 1-800-636-1067. Or will you think it wasn't worth it? Let's say, where do you draw the line? Because I think if they land one or two, I think you're pretty happy. If they land three, you're like, eh. If they get four or five, and they could be great players.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to be unsatisfied. Four or five is going to feel dirty. It's going to feel like, man, that was a waste of a season.
I never wanted them to tank. I never liked the idea of it. Ever.
But if you had to say right now, is there a line right now? If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, which is completely disappointing and makes you regret the season. If you were a pro tanker, so just put yourself in the... In the thought that you were a pro tanker like Cakes, and then you end up with the fourth pick.
Fourth pick could be really good player.
Of course, it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, no one knows if DeBonce is going to be better than Boozer or better than Caleb Wilson or better than Acuff. No one knows.
I might want Caleb Wilson over all the guys. He might be my I mean,
if they get a top three pick, and I mean, I'm guessing he'll be available.
Well, let's be honest about one thing. This wasn't a 1 year tank. They've
tanked
for three or four straight years.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So
anytime you tank and you think you're going to get the first pick, it's just dumb. You don't understand the system. You have a 13, 14% chance of getting the first pick. So I would never hang my hat on a 14% chance.
Mm-hmm.
I would always assume I'm not going to get the 14% chance. I would never bet I'm going to get the 14%.
Correct. It has been a multi-year tank.
So dumb.
Yeah.
When Winger and Dawkins came in here, they cleared out everybody, right? And they've drafted Koulibaly, they've drafted Sarr, they've drafted Trey Johnson. But this was supposed to be the last year of tanking. Right? That's why you trade for Trae Young and you trade for Anthony Davis.
I think it is.
Yeah.
So if it's the last year of tanking and you finish with the worst record in the NBA, if you end up with the fourth or fifth pick, it just feels unacceptable. They have no control over it. Well, it's all luck.
Don't be surprised by it. You should expect it. You should expect the fifth pick.
When you have an 86% chance, am I doing the math
86%
right?
86% chance of not getting the first pick.
Yeah.
I mean, to even think you're going to get the first pick is dumb.
But
even if you get it,
I think
you just got lucky.
You got lucky. I think if you get a top three pick, though, I think it's legit. And four or five could be really good players, too. But if you get a top three pick, all right, let's just say you don't get the one. If you get two or three, then I think you can be excited and kind of work your way up, start building that guy around the guys you have. Who knows about Anthony Davis? But if you get a top three pick and you can get a Wilson or a Boozer, solid.
I don't think he shoots as well. I'm getting Lenny Bias vibes when I watch Caleb Wilson.
I've seen him comp to Michael Jordan.
The athleticism. I'm telling you, I'm getting Lenny Bias.
He's definitely an athlete. Yeah.
The Lenny Bias vibes. The way he attacks the basket and gets up there with two hands.
Yeah. He's just not a shooter. That's the thing.
He's
not a perimeter shooter.
But, I mean, I've seen him hit some like mid-range. He's got a nice stroke. It's fine. I don't know why he can't get better at it. I'm very intrigued by him.
I mean, if you want a shooter, you're going after Acuff.
Yeah.
Now, Acuff's going to be, he's 6'2", but he's not 6'10".
Mm-hmm.
But Acuff, I think, is going to be a
really...
What
do they list Wilson at? 6'8"?
No, he's bigger than that.
Bigger than that?
6'10", I'm guessing.
6'10?
He's super skinny.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's skinny.
That's my guy. I'm a Caleb Wilson guy.
He's got long arms, too.
If you had the number one pick, you'd take Caleb Wilson?
I don't know, maybe. He's just intriguing.
I'm intrigued.
Maybe I'd probably take the
Bonzo. I'm intrigued by Acuff. I feel like he could be Derrick Rose-like in the NBA. Maybe it's the Calipari connection.
I like Acuff, too. I like Acuff. Though I'm telling you, the one I'd be the least excited about, and he might be the best one of all of them, is
Boozer. Yeah.
It's
just not sexy. That's all.
Just solid. Really good.
Yeah, I think he'd be a solid pro. Probably a 15-year career. Probably make $250 million.
Yep.
Probably make $500.
But if he's comp to Banchero, and I mean, Banchero's a very good player.
Yeah. He's really good.
I mean, the team blew a 3-1 series lead, but he put up 45 in one of those games.
Right.
Yeah, I think my prediction is three, and I think you should be very happy with three or better.
I feel like the town, though, is not going to get really fired up unless they land the number one pick.
I think they'd be fired up for two. Because two, are you getting either DeBonts or Peterson in all likelihood, and both those guys have been projected to go one overall.
Yeah.
It's like 1A, 1B at this point. I think if you got two, fans would be excited. And who knows? You know, it could be a situation like it was the Sar year when the Hawks drafted, what's his name?
Reese Hoshea.
Yeah, Reese Hoshea. And then Will Dawkins just laughing.
Yeah.
Because he was never going to take him.
Reese Hoshea is not even, in the playoffs, he wasn't even playing.
I know.
Right.
Think about that.
Well, I'm gonna,
a couple years in.
Hopefully in a couple weeks.
A guy who you draft number one overall is sitting on the bench during a playoff series.
Yeah.
Not just on the bench as a contributor, like sitting on the bench, stuck to the bench.
I know.
Yeah.
Did Bronny James get more play?
Wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough.
Honestly, we don't know.
The whiff of a top pick.
We don't know who Will leans towards, like if he had the one overall. And I think that they're so close that they could pick who he doesn't like. And
so
you can still get his guy at two.
You want them to keep Anthony Davis, if you had a front line, Anthony Davis.
If you want to trade him at the deadline because it doesn't work and he's unhappy, sure, fine.
All right. If you have working with the guys they have, if you have a front court that has Anthony Davis and Sar, I don't know who you dub the center.
Doesn't matter.
Who you dub the power forward, right?
Who cares?
DeBanza fits in as a three. Can he play the three?
Yeah.
I think he can. Sure.
He could definitely play the three.
Is he a 3-4?
Yeah, probably, but he's an athletic player.
Yeah.
I think.
That'd be a tall front line.
Be a great front line. I don't know what they list him at. I'm guessing he's 6'8", 6'9".
What
and then your backcourt would be Trey, if you're going with the future.
Maybe and Trey
then,
and Trey.
And then Trey Young.
Maybe Trey and Trey.
Got to find minutes for Will Riley.
Yeah, they would.
He is a baller.
Comes off the bench.
Yeah.
Or he starts over DeVanza.
Yeah.
No, but I don't know if Wizards fans will be upset if they don't get the number one.
I think it'll be an eye roll.
Even though they tanked but Wizards fans have to understand it's a 14% chance.
Yeah, I think that I'm telling you, if they get the two pick, Wizards fans will be excited. If they get the number two pick of the draft,
yeah,
that's a home run.
Just like they were like 2 years ago.
That's not a grand slam. That's a three-run homer. That's a three-run homer.
Mm-hmm.
If they get the third pick, honestly, it's a solo shot.
Yeah. If they get the
fourth pick, it's a double.
Double.
If they get the fifth pick, it's a single.
Yeah.
I think anything below three, it's going to be we're cursed.
If they get
the whole Wizards curse, that's how people are going to feel. They're not looking at the math of it, EB. I get it. The math of it says they're more likely to get the fifth pick than any of the picks ahead of it.
Right.
It's the most likely landing spot.
Right. So that's what I would bet on.
I know. But Wizards fans are going to feel the old curse of the Boule has extended and they just can't catch a break.
If they get the fourth pick and they're able to draft Caleb Wilson,
you'd be excited about that.
Yeah, you're going to get a good player in the top five. I think you laid it out perfectly. There are five guys who are sexy.
Yeah.
What'll be a joke is
but
if...
But there's one that's least sexy, which I agree with you, I think is Boozer.
Yeah.
What'll be a joke is if a team
and
like
he might be the best.
Mavs come up and get the top pick again.
Yeah, I assume there will
or
be...
Or the Bucks.
I assume there will be one outlier that jumps ahead of us.
Imagine if the Thunder get it.
Or the Thunder.
Well, they should redo it. They should cheat.
They have the Clippers pick.
They have the Clippers pick, correct.
Yeah.
They're so deep right now watching that game last night. It's just absurd how good their 9th and 10th players are.
Mm-hmm. Mm. No, but we'll find out Sunday, 3 o'clock. Hopefully John Wall brings some luck.
And then our guy, Ben Strober, he and Linnell are doing a big... preview show, right? I know you tweeted about that. Are they doing that on Saturday?
Or no, it's a Sunday show right after the lottery.
Right after the lottery. Yeah. They kind of talk about where they stand. And mm-hmm.
Lottery reaction.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they get the fifth pick. That's the lowest they can go, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fine. I think they're going to get a good player for sure. So you can't be too disappointed.
Right, but look at this year. The fifth pick, is that what Trey Johnson was drafted? Was he the fifth?
Fifth or sixth. Maybe six. I'd have to go back and look.
Stop pop quizzing me. I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, check. Google.
don't ask.
But he certainly didn't play like a top six pick.
He had moments.
Yeah, but he's...
I think there's promise there. I don't think he's a dud.
He was under... I don't think so either, but he was underwhelming for a top six pick.
I mean, he shot... What did he shoot from threes? He averaged 12 a game.
He was the sixth pick. What I would say is... Look, Cooper Flagg ended up winning Rookie of the Year over Con Knipple, right? Cooper, transcendent star. Dylan Harper, number two. He's in the playoffs right now. He's a contributor big time. Edgecombe, baller, number three. Watch the Sixers series. He's showing how good he can be. Knipple set record in three-pointers. Ace Bailey at five. Utah.
He had flashes.
I think so. There was a drop off from those top four.
Yes.
So that's top four, number five. Stars. It's just more of a reach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every pick you go down doesn't mean that you can't become a star if you're a lower pick. Of course. Joker was a second round pick, and he's arguably the best player in the NBA. But every pick down, the likelihood of finding like a superstar, it's less.
Of course. But they're going to be okay. They're going to have somebody that I think that we could get behind, be excited about. Even Akon.
I think you should be, yeah.
Yeah.
If you ended up having the seventh pick, now I know they can't go down below five, but if you had the sixth or seventh or eighth pick, okay. That was a doomed season.
Right. Well, that's why
it was a doomer.
That's why they won 17 games.
That's why they won.
Ensured that wasn't going to happen.
That's why they won the 17.
Right.
But fans go, all right, well, we tanked. We have the worst record. We should have the top pick. Well, you got 14%
chance. They're fortunate because it appears it's not like a Kwame Brown year.
No, this is the whole reason that this was supposed to be the year.
Yeah.
This is the year of the sillies.
Right.
So they got to get one of them.
Well, I guarantee you Will Dawkins feels the same way.
They're going to get a good player. They're going to get a good player.
Real quickly, the Wizards in 25 NBA draft lotteries since the draft lottery was instituted in 1985. So out of a potential 40 draft lotteries, the Wizards have been in 25 of them, 25 out of 40. Out of those 25 NBA draft lotteries, they have moved up from their draft position entering the draft lottery just three times out of 25. They have stayed put where they were supposed to pick based on record 11 times, and they have moved back 11 times. They have had terrible draft lottery luck. Are you expecting anything different on Sunday? We actually put up a Twitter poll, our Waldorf Honda X/ Twitter poll. It all starts with a click, waldorfhonda.com, our poll of the day driven by Waldorf Honda. What are you expecting from NBA lottery on Sunday? It's at 3 p.m., by the way, before the first game at 3:30 on Sunday. Are you expecting Wizards good luck or Wizards bad luck? You can call us and give us your Wizards draft lottery thoughts, including anything that was super disappointing in the past. Last year was super disappointing, clearly, with Cooper Flagg as a possibility. This year, I think it's A.J. DeBonsa. Could be Darren Peterson. There's actually some news on Darren Peterson. The news being that Darren Peterson said that a new round of blood work and other tests after the season led doctors to conclude that his use of high doses of creatine led to mysterious and sometimes debilitating cramping. Quote, I made it to the training room and just started begging for them to call 911. This was him on a medical episode that he suffered back in September. They were trying to get a vein to get an IV into me, but I was so dehydrated. I was cramping so hard they couldn't get a vein. I thought I was going to die on the training table that day. So a lot of the mystery surrounding Darren Peterson, his cramping, leaving games, not playing in games, begging out of games right before they began, had to do with this. A.J. DeBonsa is my number one. I don't know who my number two is. I really think Acuff is going to be Lillard. I think that he's going to be a prolific scoring point guard in the NBA. He's not real fond of defending. Not one of his favorite things to do. He's going to have to become better at that. But then again, every single night in these NBA playoffs, you see more times than not a point guard being hunted out. You know, whether it's Jalen Brunson or Donovan Mitchell or James Harden or whomever it is, they're getting hunted. Luka Doncic gets hunted by teams. Please, can we get him on a switch to guard one of our scorers? Acuff might become one of those players. He may also average 27, 28 points a game 4 or 5 years from now. Now, would they do that? Would they draft a scoring point guard after Trae Young was traded for? Who knows? Real quickly, too, football related, Brandon McManus was just released by Green Bay. Remember him? Signed by this team in their first free agency period in 2024 and then released because of the sexual assault allegations stemming from the time that he was with the Jags. It was an incident on an airplane coming back from a game. Washington felt like they couldn't take the chance before the allegations were heard. They were eventually dropped, and he signed with Green Bay. And Green Bay drafted the Florida kicker in this past draft, and they just cut McManus today after signing him last year to a 3-year, $15.3 million deal. It included a $5 million signing bonus, and they just paid him in March another $1 million signing bonus. Now, they did not know that they were going to draft the kicker, the best kicker in the draft, the kid out of Florida. Why am I blanking on his name, Anthony? Who's the kicker they drafted from Florida? What's his name? Smack or something
Trey
like that?
Smack?
Yeah. So McManus is out there. I wonder if the if our team would bring him in to camp. They signed Drew Stevens from Iowa, undrafted free agent. McManus missed, remember, in that playoff game, in that cold playoff game against Chicago, he missed two field goals and missed an extra point. He basically cost them that game against Caleb Williams and the Bears. All right, are you expecting good luck or bad luck on Sunday? And any Wizards draft lottery memories? Last year was the killer. I would have loved Cooper Flagg. And instead, they dropped to the lowest possible point. Mark and Largo, go ahead.
In between, probably. Look, Adam Silver is not going to let us get the number one pick because we can't. He's targeted us. I think more likely we're probably going to get
He's targeted us as a team that he does not want to get. So do you think we end up with the fourth pick? Last year, remember, the sixth was the worst case, and we got the sixth.
I think we'll get three. I don't think he's going to go down that bad like he did last year. I think we'll get three and probably get Caleb Wilson. But, hey, breaking news. Schedule release May 14th. Figured you hear it first.
That's why I wanted to get it out yesterday, because I knew we're going to get some leaks over the weekend and on Monday. So yeah,
Adam Schefter.
Okay,
Adam Schefter.
May 14th. So that's Wednesday night, right?
Thursday night.
All right, we'll know the schedule a week from today.
Watch that.
All right. Thank you, Mark and Mark. See ya. Rob, you're on hold. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Kevin.
What's up, Rob?
You're going to get the worst possible. Are you here?
I got you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I said, I think the Wizards are going to get the worst possible deal. But just a second ago, you was talking about kickers. I had a kid to rate it from Iowa better because he kicked in more bad weather than
he did.
And I'm talking about cold bad weather.
Yeah.
Than the other kid. And that's the only reason I had him ranked higher. So,
yeah, I mentioned, if you go back and watch that Iowa-Oregon game, which was a really good football game in November in the cold and rain, and he booted a 58-yarder in that weather. He was impressive as a kicker, no doubt. And you're right, kicking in Iowa, a little bit different than kicking in Gainesville. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lap. Lap, go ahead. Wizards, are you expecting good luck or bad luck Sunday at 3 for the lottery?
Yeah, I'm going to say bad luck. I've always said all this time, I just think we're going to get Cam Boozer, you know, or the kid from North Carolina. I just think, and like Mark said, they're not letting us get the number one. We got robbed in the Wimby. We got robbed in the Cooper Flag. They just ain't trying to get us. And those are the teams that got, you know, fine for tanking. I'm curious to see where they're going to be in the draft, man. But they need to let us get in. And then the Alex Saar draft, I mean, it was two. But that draft was terrible, Kevin. Like, come on, man. Like, we really need, you know what I'm saying, a breaker. I want AJ. I just don't think realistically. Peterson is nice. I know there's some injury concerns with him. Acuff, man, that boy is bad. So, I mean, I'm open. I just still think it's going to be the kid from North Carolina or Boozer. But I've been saying Boozer, you know what I'm saying, for the last year. So, we'll see, because I think he'll fit right in with what we have. So
we got lucky in 2010. In 2010, there was a consensus number one player, and it was John Wall, and that was a good pick. But, man, it seems like every other year it has been bad luck in the lottery. And last year, I think, was the ultimate bad luck. The Wemby year, we didn't have the same level of shot, I don't think. Last year, certainly a favorite, one of the favorites to get to number one, and we ended up with number six.
We missed about one ping pong ball, though, Kevin. Yeah, I said
exactly.
Missed about one ping pong ball with Wimby, and that was just crazy. And shout out to Sabah, man. I knew she was inching. When I saw that news article about Heineke,
I knew she was waiting to say something about it. But I feel the same way with John Wall. I understand her passion because I wish John Wall would have stayed here with us and we could have got rid of Bill a while back. But
thanks, Lap.
We'll see, man. I'm excited, man. And watch them playoffs, Kevin, man. It's going to be good. Yeah, have a good weekend, bro.
They've been good. Appreciate it.
He's a Hall of Famer, for
God's
sake.
He had to hear that.
I like to put on a good front when David Aldridge joins us.
You okay? I did step on you there.
It's like company coming over. I want to clean the house a little bit.
What about throwing a pile of garbage in the living room? You want to do that?
Put on a nice shirt for
DA. Unbelievable.
And here we are. Yeah. We're just answering the door with no pants on.
Sorry you had to see or hear that, David. That was tough.
David, wow.
It's all good. It's all good.
A Hall of Famer like yourself deserves more.
All good, gentlemen. All good.
Great to chat with you. The story David wrote today in The Athletic, you should check out with Josh Robbins, the two of them together.
Yep.
Wizards hope their luck changes for better in this year's NBA draft lottery. So, DA, why don't we start right there? We began our show with this conversation. What is at stake for them? How big of a deal would winning this thing be as opposed to the worst-case scenario and what would lie ahead in that situation?
Well, I would say that it's pretty important, right? I mean, they have, frankly, tanked the last 3 years with an eye towards the 2025 draft and the 2026 draft. Those were the two drafts that they said, hey, that's where we can really get our young star player to build around, right? You look at the playoffs, you look all in the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, almost every team, not every team, but almost every team has a young guy that they drafted high because they tanked, the year before. And they got the lottery balls to go the right way, and they got Kate Cunningham went to Detroit, and their whole thing turned around, right? They literally lost 28 games in a row 2 years ago. They set an NBA record. They lost 28 straight games two years ago, and now they're a 60-win team and the number one seed in the East. Because of Cade Cunningham. And now they got other guys who have helped them a lot, who are parts of it. But they're a playoff team and a contending team because Cade Cunningham was worth taking number one in the draft a few years ago. He was that good. And he's proven that he's that good. And you need one of those guys. Now, there are different ways to build teams. I'm not saying this is the only way. But right now in the NBA, when nobody of consequence ever hits free agency anymore because everybody just keeps signing extensions with the team that they're at, or a guy like Giannis makes a trade demand and says, I only want to go to three teams, which cuts out 27 other teams from having any chance of getting a guy that good. The best way to get a great young player to build around is in the draft. And the best way to get one of those young guys is to be at the top of the lottery. It doesn't mean that nobody good ever gets drafted after three or four. Of course, we all know Jokic went in the second round. All got it. If teams thought, hey, we can just wait until the 41st pick in the draft and we'll get a franchise player there, that's what they would do. That is such a one in a billion shot. The best player in the world was taken with the 41st pick in the draft. That just doesn't happen, right? So it's important for the Wizards to get some lottery luck. They didn't get any last year, obviously. And so next year's draft is, there'll be somebody good coming out of the draft. There always somebody good comes out of every draft. But it's not viewed as a draft that's nearly as good with talent at the top as this year's draft is and as last year's draft was.
David, from a fan base, from an organizational, take us seriously kind of perspective, what would the number one overall pick do? I mean, because we're on life support now. There's like 11 of us that are invested in Wizards outcomes on a nightly basis. What would that do for this fan base in terms of energy, the organization to kind of have this plan come to fruition? And then conversely, what would the number five pick do?
Well, I'll start with five. I mean, I think people would be disappointed and go, wow, this is terrible. They never get the first pick. I will just say this. In this year's draft, and this is why they tanked so hard this year and made sure they had the worst record in the league, they can only fall to five. They can't fall further than five. That's the lowest pick that they can get. Even if the worst thing happens and they pick five, there's still a chance that the person they pick at five is going to be a really good player. Right? Like a really, really good player. for a long time. Now, will they be a superstar? I don't know, but they won't. The chances of them being a bust are not very high, I don't think, in this year's draft. That's how good the first six or seven picks should be in this draft. They should all hit. I mean, I just don't know how they don't all hit, and at the very least be very good players. Now, if you get one, look, I mean, it's no different. Again, Detroit, terrible team, drafted Cade Cunningham, now they're a good team. Orlando, I know Orlando just fired their coach, but they were terrible. They were terrible. And they tanked, and they got Paolo Banchero first, and now they're a playoff team. Like, that changes everything when you get a guy that good. And this draft, again, we don't know for sure, but whether it's DeBanser or Peterson, who are generally considered the top two guys in this draft, Minnesota's a joke of a franchise. They were horrendous. They drafted Anthony Edwards first overall, and they've been to two straight conference finals and have a real good chance of going to another one. Like, you got to have that guy. It just changes everything. You get on national TV. You win games. You beat good teams. And then players on other teams go, hey, wait, that guy's pretty good. That DeBanser kid's pretty good. That Peterson kid's pretty good. I might want to go play with them in 2 years when my contract's up. And now you're the team that gets to trade for the superstar player instead of the three teams that Giannis wants to go to that never, ever, ever include the Wizards, right? By merit, because they haven't earned it. But when you start winning games, then people around the league start taking it a little more seriously.
David, I'm going to ask you a dumb question here, because I think I know how you see this, and I probably see it the same way you do, but I just want to hear your response to it. The Wizards fans who talk a lot about the history of the lottery and that they always get got. We never mentioned the John Wall year for whatever reason. Those people just say that it never works out for us, right? And the idea of the NBA and who wins and the years they do and they don't. What's your larger take just on, I don't even mean the conspiracies, but just the thoughts on the lottery and teams like the Wizards seemingly not having their number come up?
Well, you know, I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. I think it's partly it is kind of, I don't know, theater, right? The theater of we never get a break, and our team never gets a guy, and that's what fans think all the time. I do think, though, Grant, that I've written this. I don't think the league understands how really upset people were that Dallas got Cooper Flagg. I don't think they understand it. They just go, well, that's how the ball bounces, and it just bounced their way. That's true. I'm not in any way suggesting it was rigged last year. I'm not. I just think that's insane to accuse people of felonies with no evidence. But the fact that Dallas, which was in the finals a year ago, and trade and engage in one of the most incomprehensible trades in recent history, right? Like, they just traded one of the best players in the world and didn't get a whole lot back, all due respect to Anthony Davis. If they thought he was worth it, they wouldn't have traded him to the Wizards, right? And so, and then they're just handed the next great young player, Cooper Flagg. And people whose teams lose on purpose so that they can get in the lottery go, well, wait a minute, how come my team never gets a great young player? You know, and it's not just Washington, it's Utah, it's Indiana, it's Brooklyn. You know, I didn't realize this. Utah's has never moved up. Never. They've never moved up in the lottery. They've been in the lottery 11 times, and they've never moved up. If I was a Jazz fan, I would go, what is going on here, right? And so that, to me, I get that people think tanking is corrosive and it's terrible for the league and it's a bad look, the teams are trying to lose. I think it's just as damaging when entire fan bases go, well, we're never going to get a good player. They're never going to let us have a good player.
Yep.
You know, I think that's something you got to look at if you're the league and go, well, wait a minute. And this is why I'm advocating, like, maybe we need to look at the lottery and the draft again because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Like, you look at the NFL. The Raiders tanked their hearts out. I would say other things, but it's a family radio show. They tanked, and they got Fernando Mendoza for tanking, and nobody says a word.
Nobody says the NFL's rigged and this is awful. Everybody goes, yeah, that's what's supposed to happen. The worst team gets the chance at the best player coming out of the draft. What's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with it, is the answer. And so, you know, if the lottery, if the NBA went the went back to the style that the NFL still uses, which is the worst team gets the first pick, then Utah would have gotten Cooper Flagg, and the Wizards would have gotten Dylan Harper. And guess what? Neither of those teams would be tanking now. They'd be like, oh, we got our young superstar to build around, which is the whole point.
That's yeah, it's almost point. Like it's why drafts were invented, right?
Exactly. So I don't know. I don't think the league understands that this is a problem, you know, and it's got to, and it has to take a serious look at how it allocates young players through a process that nobody begrudges San Antonio. They're a great franchise. They've been a model franchise. They've won 5 championships. They've done everything right to keep that team viable and relevant in the NBA. They got Victor Wembanyama, Stephon Castle, and Dylan Harper in 3 years.
Yep.
They went 1-2, 1-4-2. Like, and people go, well, wait a minute. They got Wemby. Do they have to have Dylan Harper too? Like, you know, so that's where people are like, there's a kind of pooling of talent in 1 or 2 or 3 places where when there's 5 or 6 other franchises, they're going, we got nothing. What about us? You know, and so I think they got to look at that.
Great, David Aldridge with us here on G&D. Yeah, you said it, DA. That's 50 years or, you know, 46 years of my that's how long I've been alive. No 50-win seasons. You know, like, when is my 3 consecutive years with Wemby when we have 7 of the 10 ping pong balls? But just to this, back to this Wizards org kind of specifically here. Going back to that, if they don't get that number 1, number 2, number 3, even, you know, if it's 4 or 5, you know what the naysayers are going to say, right? Like who you know, who they don't remember all the losing for no purpose, the losing for this purpose, it won't come to fruition and it won't bear the same kind of fruit. Will that kind of toxicity be, you know, much, much louder? And kind of what do you anticipate there in terms of whether it's the fan base, different reactions, you know, kind of getting to the org? What do you think about that part?
I know this, Danny. These guys are not going to be they're not going to make decisions based off of fan anger or disappointment or anything. These guys are locked in. This is how they're going to build this team, and they're clear-eyed about it, and they're sober as a judge about it. They're not going to go, wow, we got to do something now. Like, no, that's not how these guys roll. You can disagree with that or not like it, but I'm telling you, they're not going to flinch. They're going to build through the draft until they hit on a star player. And that's why it matters. This year matters. You know, at 4 or 5, you're talking about Acuff. You're talking about Vogler. You're talking about Caleb Wilson from North Carolina. And again, I do not think those are bad picks. Okay, those are not bad picks. Those guys can play. Okay, now there's some roster kind of overlap. But when you're drafting top 5, I do not care about roster overlap. You take the talent. The whole point of being that bad is to take the most talented guys that you can get your hands on, right? And so I think some people will be disappointed to be sure, but just don't take my word for it. Just look at Darius Acuff highlights. Look at Keaton Vogler highlights. Those guys are good, okay? And Keaton Vogler was a nobody on the board. Nobody knew who this kid was. And he took Illinois, which has not been a powerhouse team, to the Final Four, okay? Like he scored 46 at Purdue, okay? Like that's not easy to do. He can play. Acuff, first-team All-American, he can play. And again, I wrote in the story, John Calipari has been pretty successful in college at developing guards who play in the NBA. He developed a guy named Shea Gilgeous-Alexander that's pretty good last time I checked. He's a pretty good player. And John Wall is a pretty good player. And Derrick Rose is a pretty good player. And Tyrese Maxey was a pretty good player. And Devin Booker was a pretty good player. And Jamal Murray is a pretty good player. He develops NBA guards, not good ones, great ones. Okay? And he says Darius Acuff is as good as any of those guys. Then guess what? I'm going to take a real hard look at drafting Darius Acuff if I'm sitting there at 5. So yeah. I don't think people should be a little more discerning. I get it, though. I get it. Because you're like,
it should, you know, one. But to Grant's point, they did get one twice. They got John Wall, who was great until he got hurt, and they got Kwame Brown, who wasn't great but wasn't as bad as people make him out to be, and played 12 years in the NBA. They weren't all here, but he was good enough that they got Caron Butler for him in a trade. And Caron Butler was pretty damn good when he was here. So, come on. Like, you get drafting a guy one does have a benefit. And sometimes it's for you, and sometimes it's for somebody else that you get in return for him.
The piece is terrific. It's on the upcoming draft lottery and the draft. It's worth reading in The Athletic. Real quick, if I could pivot to the future with the veterans and what they've done in the last year. So coach me up on this. I'm kind of out on this Anthony Davis thing. Like, I get it. His timeline and their timeline might not be the same. They might have been a perfect fit in another multiverse, but he's ready to get married, and they want to keep going out to the club or whatever, right? So he's saying, I'd love to be on a contender, but by the way, this team can't contend next year. He's saying it as bluntly as he can while trying to be really nice and complimenting the GM and how fun everybody is, and he loves the kids.
Right,
But he clearly does not want to play here next year. Why not just trade him? Like, why are we going to keep doing this?
A couple reasons. Number one, I don't think Anthony Davis is the only player in the NBA who isn't thrilled where he is. But,
there's a couple of those guys.
Very unique distinction,
Yeah, at their kind of end-of-season availability for media, he was there, and I said, do you want to be here next year? He said, well, I'm under contract. And that was not, yes, I want to be here, but it was, I don't have any choice. I can't hold out. So here's what I think happens with Anthony Davis. I think the Wizards have already had multiple conversations with him. And I think what they say is two things. Number one, you want an extension. Okay. You want an extension. The only team that can give you an extension is us. Nobody else can give you an extension. Nobody else will have the cap room or the inclination, even if they create the cap room, to give you an extension. We're the only team that can give it to you. So if you ball out next season and play like Anthony Davis again, we can talk about an extension. And if you come to us after next season and say, you know what, I really just want to be somewhere else, we can trade you. But you have to play well for us for a year to make that happen. Whatever it is that you want, Anthony Davis, it requires you to play well for the Washington Wizards next season. And if you do that, then we can talk about getting you out of here after a year, but you have to play well for us next year and give us a chance to get to the playoffs. And just give us a year. And if you don't like playing with A.J. DeBanza or Darren Peterson or Cameron Boozer or Caleb Wilson or Keaton Vogler or Darius Acuff, you just don't want to play with them, okay, we'll get you out of here. Why don't you play with them for a year and see how you feel after a year? And I think that's what adults do. Like, you have adult conversations about hard things, and you say, look, work with us here. Just work with us. Be a good leader for the young guys. Show them how to be a pro. Give them all the tips that you've learned over 10 years, and play well for us. And then we'll see about what happens afterwards. But we can't do anything. We're not going to trade you now for nothing just because you're not happy here. Just give us a year, and then we'll figure something out. But you got to play good. So play good next year, and then we'll talk. And I think that's where they are. I don't have any evidence. But knowing these guys the way I do, I think that's the conversation they've had.
DM, you're the best, buddy. I always appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
There's David Aldridge. Check out his work in The Athletic. We're 4 days away. Sunday, 3 o'clock, we'll have special coverage on The Fan of the draft lottery, the biggest day for the Wizards since their series with the Celtics in the playoffs to get to the conference final, which was coming up on 9 years ago in May of 2017. I think May 9th I saw today, something like that. Maybe May 15th is when that series ended. But it was going on right now, 9 years ago.
God, what a slightly different time, I would say. You think? Just different chapters in this history.
Just a tad.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-burner gas grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit badass.bank.
Member FDIC.